Our reading this evening is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 1. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town, as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Alan. I know that it's already been mentioned that you don't need to say that it's hot. May I simply give you permission, as an Englishman amongst you, that you are allowed to sweat? It's not obligatory, but do feel free. We're continuing a series of Alpha-related talks through the summer Sundays, and this particular Sunday is, can I believe that God can heal? The simple answer is yes. No, I'm not going to sit down at that point. but just to say, that's the simple answer, but of course we need to look at it and think about it a bit more completely than that. And the reading that Alan's just shared with us has a situation where Jesus is commissioning his 12 closest disciples to go and preach the kingdom and heal the sick through the towns and villages in the Galilee area. And that's what they did. They preached the kingdom, they healed the sick, and they came back and they shared a wonderful report of all that had happened. Which really shouldn't be very surprising, because way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, God reveals himself to the Israelites as, I am the God who heals you. It's a part of who God is that he is a God who heals. And we know that still has relevance, because Jesus tells his disciples to go out, preach the kingdom, here in this chapter in Luke, in this passage, and heal the sick. Where the kingdom is and where it advances, there is healing. However, and we've said it before from the front here, the kingdom of God is a now and not yet kingdom. We have a foretaste, we have first fruits, but we don't have the completeness. We don't have Christ amongst us, visibly present, manifesting that rule and reign. So we ask questions around healing like, does God heal always and everyone? Does God heal always and everyone? And the answer is yes, God heals always and everyone. He is in the business of healing. Everyone receives grace. Everyone receives a measure of healing in this life. Everyone always, because the kingdom is advancing and will keep advancing until the king returns and it is fully and finally and eternally established. So yes, God is always at work healing everyone, but there's a no, which is that we don't see all the healing we want to see. And we can see that quite clearly even in the New Testament. We understand that Paul, he tells us he had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know the full nature of that, but he wasn't healed from it despite pleading with God. We know that his son in the faith, Timothy, had stomach problems because Paul wrote to him and said, take a little wine with your water for the sake of your stomach. We know that Epaphroditus, who's mentioned in Philippians, for example, a fellow worker with Paul, Epaphroditus was really sick and nearly died. And we know that Trophimus failed to serve Paul at one point because he was sick and had to be left behind. So we know that sickness happens and death happens. It's a now and a not yet. I don't know if you've heard of Johnny Erickson Tada. We talk about her sometimes. She's recently celebrated, if that's the right word, 50 years in a wheelchair as a quadriplegic since an accident at the age of 13 in Chesapeake Bay in America, where she broke her neck. 50 years in a wheelchair. And yet that woman who wanted healing and wasn't healed then embarked on a marvelous ministry of writing books, of singing songs, of speaking, of painting, of starting missions and charities that has blessed countless hundreds of thousands and even millions and possibly billions around the world. She hasn't been healed physically, but is there not a measure of healing in what God has done in her? There's somebody else I like to read stories of. He was in the first half of the 20th century, he was a healing evangelist by the name of Smith Wigglesworth. Anybody heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Anybody a fan of Smith Wigglesworth? He came from up north, didn't he, Max? Aye, yeah, Bradford. Anyway, that apart, Smith Wigglesworth had a fantastic ministry. He brought many, many people to faith through his preaching, though he was a largely uneducated plumber by trade. And he also had an amazing miracle ministry of healing people. He brought people back from the dead. He had a fantastic ministry. And yet later on in his life, he suffered from kidney stones. And he had to go and minister at times when he was almost doubled up in pain, passing those kidney stones. And God didn't take away the kidney stones. He carried on his fantastic healing ministry in huge pain over a number of years. And not many people even knew about it at the time. So it's a now and it's a not yet. God is in the work of healing, but not everybody gets healed. So what do we, perhaps we ought to explain what we mean by healing. Because so often we think that when we talk about healing, we're talking about kind of a Harry Potter thing with a magic wand. You know, there, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed. But there's actually many forms of healing and there's many forms of sickness. So we have perhaps the most obvious one is the medicinal one. And God, through the gift of the skills that he gives to medical people and the way in which medical science advances, he enables us all to receive some measure of healing. I've benefited from that. I'm sure many of you have. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and show off your artificial knees or hips or anything, but we all appreciate medical science and the way in which it delivers healing to us. There's the amazing natural work of healing that goes on in the human body. How many of us have had COVID? How many of us have got over COVID? Okay, we were healed. Our bodies fought it off. It may have needed the help of a vaccine. It may not have needed the help of a vaccine. But we survived. We survive an awful lot of things in life. We break a leg, our leg mends. We cut our finger heals. There is a natural healing process. That is God at work, being gracious to the believer and the non. And then, of course, we have what we might call divine or supernatural intervention. And Jesus was talking about this when he sent the disciples out. He said, go into the towns and villages, preach the kingdom of God, and heal the sick. And it says they went out, they preached the kingdom, and they healed the sick. God breaks in. Now, I've known what it is to be healed of things. I've also known what it is not to be healed of those things in a sort of a medical sense. And yet, work is still going on. Healing is still happening. There are different facets of healing, and we take them for granted in so many ways. But they are actually evidences of God at work. But there is something that is divine and supernatural and breaks out beyond what we might expect. The different facets of healing can cover many things. We've talked about the physical. There's mental and psychological. There's emotional. There's spiritual. There's relational. Do you know that word shalom we sometimes mention? The Hebrew word shalom. We think of it as being healing or wholeness, but it's one that means relational, community, healing. It means being restored to a sense of wholeness, a sense of oneness, one with God, one with our neighbor, one with ourselves. That's amazing when you think about it, because we live in a very fractured world and a fractured society. If only the shalom of God could be completely here now, so much would be sorted out. But we're in the now and not yet of the kingdom, where we always look for more. So, how do we access healing? Well, in the Christian sphere, when we're talking about the kind of divine healing that Jesus is talking about, when he sent his disciples out, we usually pray for people, don't we? We pray for people at the end of the service. We say, can I just lay a hand on you, on your shoulder? Is that okay? Can I pray for you? What's the problem? You've got a bad back. Can I pray for your bad back? Maybe, you know, put my hand near that back and simply say, Lord, heal. We don't need to get really excited about it. We don't need to shout. God is not deaf. And backs don't get better simply because you shout at them. It's an act of faith where we are doing something in obedience to the call of God, and we look for God to respond. Because prayer is a seeking after God, if you like. It's a trying to discern his will, his best for us, and his best for others. Not simply a matter of trying to get what we want, to get our desires met. And saying at the end of a prayer, in Jesus' name, is not like a... Again, a Harry Potter formula, a spell or something. It's not a magic formula of any kind, but it's actually adopting, if you like, and accepting who God is in Jesus Christ and what he wants for us. I would dare to say that actually the chief aim of any Christian is to discern the will of God and to do it. To discern the will of God and to do it. Because if you don't know what God's will is, you're floundering. If you know you're performing God's will, you can do it with confidence. And if you're in God's will, and you're working through with God's will, then there is peace, there is comfort, and there is security. And we minister to others. When we know we're doing that in God's will, we know that there will be an answer. It may not necessarily be the answer we want, but there will be an answer. And God's best will be worked out in that person and that situation. So I say again, the chief aim of every Christian is to discern and to do the will of God. If you don't hear anything else tonight, when it comes to praying for healing and believing for healing, think about that. Think about what is God trying to do in this situation, in this person, so that I may pray with God to see that actually happen, to see that being brought into effect. What is God's best? Do you know, we like to get rid of pain and suffering, don't we? Who would like an easy life? There's some of you who are not being honest here. Who would like an easy life? Most of us would like an easy life most of the time. We'd like not to be so hot just at the moment. But when the thunderstorms come, we're going to be very upset. And we're going to say it's always raining. We like what we like, when we like it, how we like it. Is that not so? It's part of our fallen human condition that my comfort is my primary concern most of the time. But that's not actually how God works, not for me and not for my loved ones. It's not that he doesn't want the best, it's just that his best is not my best. His best is far better. And so some of the things I ask for, like having an easy life, just is not the way of Christ. Did Jesus have an easy life? Did the apostles have an easy life? Did the early believers have an early life, easy life being persecuted in the Roman Empire? If you want an easy life, then I'm afraid Christianity is not for you. If you want a purposeful life full of adventure and potential and possibility, if you want to know that you're going to be fulfilled as a person and become transformed into Christ-likeness, if you want to see your life producing fruit and being effective in blessing other people, then Christianity is certainly the right place for you. But you won't find it easy necessarily, and it may not be simple. Jesus said in his prayer for all believers in John 17, fantastic passage, he says, in this world you will have trouble. How encouraging is that? How many politicians or possible Conservative Party leaders are going to say, look, if you bring me into power, I'm going to give you trouble? He says, in this world you will have trouble. But then he says to his father, I pray for them who believe in me because they are in the world. I don't want you to take them out of the world. I want you to keep them in the world and keep your hand upon them, to protect them and look after them. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he says in Philippians, which is his most personal letter to a church, he said, I want to participate in Christ's sufferings. I want to share in the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. Why? Because then I'll become like him. Why? Because suddenly the kingdom will come in me and I'll be different and I'll be changed and I'll be effective and I'll be able to bless other people and serve people even more fully. The bottom line is, for the Christian who wants to follow Christ, the priority is character, not comfort. Okay? Character, not comfort. And God will do whatever it takes to develop a Christ-like character in me and in you if we will let him. So when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, we're asking for trouble unless we really mean it. Because God will call us to account and say, you said you wanted to follow. You said that Jesus Christ was Savior and Lord. Then follow, and I will make you like him. But, and again, it's a picture we've used before. If you think about gold and silver and precious metals that need to be refined, they go through the fire. They go through the furnace, and it gets pretty hot. You think this is hot? It's nothing compared to a furnace. And it's only then that the impurities float to the top and can be skimmed off. And that process is repeated and repeated and repeated. Healing is not simply about being physically comfortable. It's about being transformed into the life of Christ. And sometimes God will let us suffer because there is a better purpose. Like Johnny Erickson Tada, staying in that wheelchair has transformed the lives of so many. I know that when I had my back problems, which needed I needed to be taken into hospital and have surgery at short notice, I still had 3 months of agony after that. But actually, I was at peace in the midst of that. God did quite a work in me in that time. When I was diagnosed with cancer, I was talking to Mandy about this today. You know, I was diagnosed and then it was a waiting game for an operation that was going to happen at some time that kept getting put back. We couldn't do anything about that. You know, I was quite at peace about that because we'd done all we could and we'd just put it into God's hands. And God actually spoke to me out of the 23rd Psalm, and not that bit that says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It wasn't that bit. It could have been that bit, but it wasn't. What he spoke to me from was the verses that follow that say, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. In the midst of difficulty and danger and distress, God is with me. God is providing for me. Even more, God is blessing me. And that, I found that in the middle of all of that that was going on. And, you know, it was because to be honest, before that, I wasn't really keen on 23rd Psalm. People keep saying, it's my favorite psalm, it's wonderful. I never really got it till God spoke to me through it. Now I get it. And it's just so amazing how God will heal you at an emotional level or a mental level or a psychological level or a spiritual level if you'll allow him to do it. And when we pray for somebody who comes perhaps at the end of the service on a Sunday evening and we pray for them, it's not simply, okay, you've got a bad back, but we need to be asking, God, what do you want to do in this person? What do you want to do through this person? Is it more than simply a back? Are you going to avoid dealing with the back in order to deal with other things, the more important things that will make a difference? God has great designs on your life and on my life. Unfortunately, we're not always willing to pay the price to step into them. The challenge is priority, not comfort. Sorry, the priority is character, not comfort, is the issue. I could talk about a lot of different situations where we've actually seen physical healing. One simple example, we used to live in London, Mandy and I, and Mandy got involved in a youth group on the estate where we lived and was seeking to be a salt and light and a Christian witness in a non-Christian youth group. And then one evening, she hurt her back. I don't really know how she hurt her back, but she hurt her back and she said, I really can't go and I feel gutted because I really feel it's important, it's my service for the Lord, it's something I'm doing for the Lord. So I said, well, okay, come and sit on my knee and I'll just pray for your back. And I put my hand on her back and I prayed, and it was a simple prayer. It said, Lord, you know, Mandy wants to go and do this. She's serving you. She wants to go and do this for your sake. Will you heal her now in Jesus' name? Amen. Not deeply theological, but there was a click beneath where my hand was, and Mandy said, my back's fine, and off she went. So we've seen more dramatic healings than that, if you like, but we've also got to say to you, you know, we've been childless all our married life despite wanting children. Mandy's been a diabetic since the age of 7. We don't see all the healing we want to see. But God can do so much more if we then resubmit it. We take it to the foot of the cross and say, here is our pain, here is our despair, here is our anguish, here is a situation we just cannot get our heads around. Lord, bring your healing. At whatever level you want to bring it and bring from it effective ministry and fruitfulness. Change us so that we might be more like you. It's all grace upon grace. Whether it's a grace for healing or a grace to be able to cope with suffering, to persevere through difficulty, it's grace upon grace. We know what we want. We would like that easy life. But, and again, this may be a shock to some of you, do you know that from the moment we were first born, we were doomed? We were doomed. We were always going to die, and we didn't know when, and we didn't know how. Sorry, this was supposed to be an encouraging talk, wasn't it? But we are still doomed, each one of us. We will all die unless Christ returns first. Of course, we know that for Christians, death is not the end. But we fight so hard to stay healthy and physically together. And sometimes we do that and ignore the fact that psychologically and particularly spiritually and relationally and emotionally, we may be falling apart. Let's get real with God and with ourselves. And let's get real with one another. What do we do when no healing occurs? No apparent healing occurs. People have said to me, well, you're not healed. You don't have a child because you don't have enough faith. Okay? Jesus said, if my faith was as small as a grain of mustard seed, I could move a mountain. Faith is not really the issue. As long as I've got enough faith to say, Jesus, help me, that's it. It's sufficient. Is it sin? Some people have worked very hard to try to convict me of sin, and I have to remind them that's the Holy Spirit's job. You know, don't pick on me. Just pray that the Holy Spirit picks on me where it's appropriate. And I'll deal with that as soon as and as best as I possibly can. I don't want things to get in the way. And the last time I spoke here, I was speaking on James 5, which funnily enough was about healing. And one of the things I said was, before you ask God to heal you, ask him first if you need to deal with anything. Because you don't want anything to get in the way. But if you don't feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit about anything, then just get on your knees as quickly as possible or get to the front and get prayed for. Because God is in the business of healing. And if he doesn't heal your physical need or your emotional or whatever it is you present with, allow him to heal what he wants to work on, and he'll get round to the other bits at some other point. It's all grace upon grace. Is it because he loves everybody else, but he doesn't love you? Well, obviously not. Jesus did not get selective at the cross. He spread his arms wide for everybody. He excluded nobody. He even said about those who were crucifying him, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. God's love is for all, always, everywhere. He's not going to exclude you because he doesn't love you or because you don't feel loved or lovely. In God's eyes, you are loved and you are lovely. It's not a barrier. Jesus said, ask, seek, knock, and the door will be opened. Remember that you're worth more than many sparrows. That God loves you and always desires what he knows to be best for you. So let me conclude by saying, always expect God to work. Always expect God to respond to you when you reach out in need, for yourself or for somebody else. Always expect him to be doing something. At the very least, he'll move in peace and compassion. He can bring healing to broken relationships, and he can certainly deal with broken bodies. He raised his own son, who was really incredibly broken and crushed by the weight of sin. We just need to look deeper to expect more than a simple healing. Let's not limit God. In just a minute, I'm going to ask the band to come back now, but in just a minute, as the band plays the next song, if you have something that you need prayer for, be it psychological, spiritual, physical, relational, emotional, whatever it is, then please do come forward. There'll be people both in the chapel and at the front who'll be happy to pray with you. If you want prayer for somebody else, then come forward and we can pray for them. But don't go away with a hurt, with a need, without presenting it to God. God wants to deal with it. And he wants to deal with you and with me, so that we're cleaner and purer channels who radiate and reflect the love and the light of Christ. Paul says in Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." Let's all say amen to that and put ourselves in a place where God can do that in us, that he purposes to do for the sake of his kingdom and the glory of his Son. Amen.